So we're in the book of Galatians, and Paul wrote this book so that, he went on his first missionary journey. People got saved. In Judaism, God had a contract with people where they had to obey the law, and when they realized they couldn't obey the law, they would come to God and say, God, I need mercy. God, I need to be saved. God, I need a Savior. And that was the point of the law, was to show people they couldn't meet God's righteousness, and they would beg for mercy and ask for God to send them a Savior. And so when Christ died on the cross, Christ fulfilled the ceremonial law. Christ fulfilled the judicial law. Man, now Christ had a new plan to show the world who God is, and that is through the church. And so we have access to him. We have grace. And so in this, he went and preached this gospel of grace to people on his first missionary journey and in the area of Galatia, and people got saved. No more law. I don't have to obey the law. And in fact, what he was saying is when you get grace, you will obey the law. But people were thinking in their human nature, man, I got to be able to do something. Man, I got to do something to be able to justify going to heaven. I got to be in, and you can't be saved by your own works, was what Paul kept saying. You're saved by grace, and we'll go into a lot of this later as we go into here. But to set this up of what Galatians is, basically the Judaizers came. All of the people who were Jewish, and some of them had gotten saved, some of them not, but they didn't like that idea. They said, no, man, you're preaching some easy believism. You're preaching that people can just go live how they want. They can just give their life to Jesus. They can live how they want and all of this. And Paul said, no. It's actually a moment-by-moment relationship with the living God through the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about that more. But so in this gospel of grace, man, the Judaizers kept trying to tell people, no, you got to be circumcised. In fact, we're going to get to it in the book of Galatians where Paul gets so angry with them. He said, if you think circumcision is the answer, you might as well cut the whole thing off. And y'all take that for what it's worth. That's in Scripture. You can't be saved by your own works. You can't be saved. You can't even be righteous with God. Our whole righteousness comes from Christ. Amen? And that's what that's what the book of Galatians is. It's the gospel. Gospel is good news. It's the gospel of grace. And grace, the word grace in the Greek language is the word charis. It means gift. It's a gift that God gives us. And it's the gift to be able to believe that what God says is correct, and B, to keep doing it. And there's absolutely no way we can do it without the power of the Holy Spirit. When you're doing it without the power of the Holy Spirit, when you're trying to follow the law, without the power of the Holy Spirit giving you the desire and the ability to do that, you're going to fail. And even if you do succeed in what you think is success, it's legalism. It's sin because you're doing it in your flesh and not through the power that God's given you. And we'll talk more about that again. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff. You say, God, what time is it, man? So the Galatians, the gospel of grace, the good news is God has given us a gift. There's no way we could follow him. There's no way we could give our life to him. There's no way we could be righteous without this gift of grace. It gives us the freedom through faith. And so it takes faith because how many of y'all know that what God asks you to do is not what the world asks you to do? It's not the world's way. Hey, I want you to do it this way. I remember when I first got saved, I'm saying, God, you know what? I have a college degree. This is not the way the world does things. God, this is not going to work. But he said, I want you to do it this way. And so out of faith, I would say, okay, I'm walking through this mountain of evidence that the world has put in front of me that tells me it's not going to work to do it your way. But I'm going to keep walking. And guess what happened at the end? I got through that mountain of evidence that the world had thrown at me to say that God's way wasn't going to work. How many of y'all have walked through that mountain of evidence and God's way works? Anybody? Let me see your hand. There you go. All right. That's how y'all are going to stay awake during this time. All right. Your hands. All right. Worship aerobics. And in fact, I might even have you stand up a little bit and shake it out at some point. But so the gospel of grace, it gives us freedom, but it takes faith. It takes faith to do what God wants you to do, and that faith comes from this gift called grace. And the whole purpose of grace is to bring glory to who? To God. That's the purpose. You know, so when people say, oh, well, I'm under grace, so I can live any way I want, that doesn't bring God glory. It doesn't take the Holy Spirit to be able to make you be able to do that. In fact, let me ask you a question. If you had an evil spirit in you, what would be the result of your life? Evil. But you have a Holy Spirit in you. And so what's the result of a Holy Spirit? He makes you what? Holy. Because God is holy, and that comes through grace. Now, so the Galatians, the gospel of grace, which gives us freedom through faith to bring glory to God. Man, if you've been here, you've heard this. This is the title of Galatians for us since day one of all of this. Now, here's what we're talking about today. How many of y'all know what ROI stands for in this world? ROI. All right, ROI. Gary, what's ROI? I mean, not Gab. Rob, return on investment. So how many of y'all know what ROI is? Let me see your hand. How many of y'all, ROI is a pretty important thing for you? Anybody? Yeah, how many of y'all pay attention to your ROI? How many of y'all just throw money at whatever? How many of y'all do some sort of ROI, even if it's just your mental capacity? You throw some. You think about an ROI, right? A return on your investment, right? Because what are you investing? Usually. Money, all right? How many of y'all even do an ROI on your actions, your energy? Well, is this worth the energy? An old statement Chuck's sister brought up one time, the juice just ain't worth the squeeze. Y'all ever heard of that? The juice just ain't worth the squeeze, man. It's like, dude, that wasn't worth the squeeze. And that's on the other end. That's an ROI. Is the juice going to be worth the squeeze on that? And so I'm here to tell you, man, we pay attention to ROIs. We pay attention mostly to ROIs concerning money, concerning our investments, concerning retirement, concerning how we're going to pay bills, concerning just where our resources are going. But I'm telling you that the Word of God has the greatest ROI plan anywhere. They're the greatest return on investment is investing in things that are eternal. And that's what we're going to see today. But man, sometimes we want that ROI to pan out real quick, don't we? Sometimes in your ROI, right, Tom? You're like, well, how soon am I going to get a return on my investment? You know, how soon is that going to happen? And how many of y'all have a problem with patience? That's why it's a fruit of the Spirit. And you need the Holy Spirit of God to give you patience, because the best ROI is going to come through waiting. It's even the stock market, y'all, dude. Look, man, what does the stock market do? Isn't that what the stock market does? Anybody here make money off the stock market? You're probably never going to raise your hand. I know y'all do, all right? But here it is. It's up. So when it crashes, when it's going, oh, no, on Monday and Tuesday, a couple weeks ago or whatever, did everybody sell everything they had? No, you keep going because you know that it's going to work itself out. The Word of God tells us the truth about ROI. He tells us that the greatest return on investment is investing in things that are eternal. In fact, here's what he even tells us. Here's what your ROI statement looks like. It starts out like this, and then all of a sudden in your life, a lot of it looks like this. How many of y'all have lived this part out spiritually? And then he brings you up again, and then boom, down again. Man, how many of y'all have lived this spiritually, right? But you know what it looks like at the end? At the end, it's there never to go down again. And so you got to ride it out. And that's the lie that Satan wants to tell us. And this is what we're looking at today in this. Check this out. Satan, the father of what? I want you to understand that. Anything that is not going, that does not go alongside with God's word is a lie. And it is from the father of lies. Father means originator. So anything that doesn't go along with the word of God, it is a what? Yeah, you may, well, that's just a little lie. It's not, wait a minute. No, it's a lie. That's why we have to know the word of God. We got to hold each other accountable with the word of God. We've got to help each other do the word of God, because the word of God is the only truth that we have. Everything else is a what? It's a lie. And that's what the world's selling us through Satan. Our enemies are Satan, and he's not omniscient, so he can't be. He doesn't know everything. He's not omnipresent, so he can't be everywhere. You know, and he's not omnipotent. He's not all-powerful. So he's just a created being of God's that's a pawn. That's all he is, but he is created. So people are like, oh, the devil was messing with me today. Well, not directly. You'd have to be pretty important for him. As an individual that can't be everywhere, for him to personally come and mess with you today, Now, he does have a third of the angels, and he does have demons. And in Galatians later, it'll tell us he's got a well-organized army and a well-organized system that is trying to mess with your life, trying to steal, kill, and destroy you. So he has that system, but it's set up mostly in this world system. That's why we've got to be so careful not to follow this world system, because this world system is the thing that Satan uses to catch us, because our old flesh wants to be a piece of it. So Satan, the father of lies, he offers us glory when? Now. Now. There's our patience thing, Tom. I want an ROI now. I want a million, what's that called on social media now, Emily? It's not like, you know, Facebook with friends, but they're called influencers. Yeah, influencers now. People are called influencers. I'm reading the, well, this influencer did this and this influencer. They're called influencers, right? And what is it that you have to become a more powerful and more bigger and powerful influencer? Followers, right? Yeah, you're like looking at me like, that's stupid. No, I'm an older generation, man. All right? Yeah, I'm trying to get it straight from them so I don't mess this up, right? Followers. So, man, I'm going to do something right now so that I can get more what? More followers. And, man, do you think there's people on social media doing whatever it takes to get followers? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Yeah, again, but it's the same thing in life. We want instant gratification. We want instant satisfaction. Man, if we're feeling down, we want instant hope, instant joy, instant fixes. It doesn't work that way, only in Satan's world. Satan, the father of lies, offers glory now. That's what he's always offered. Remember when he took Jesus up on the mountain? Oh, hey, man, you know what? Or he took him on the pinnacle of the temple. Hey, if you jump, and all the worshipers are down there, you jump. And Psalm 91 says that you won't even stub your toe, which he was misquoting. That you jump now, you won't have to go to the cross, because man, all the worshipers will see that you got saved and you're the Messiah. Instant gratification. What he told them was a lie, straight from the pit of hell. Father of lies offers glory now, but fails to mention certainty of eternal suffering later. How many of y'all, when Satan comes to you with a deal you know that is not part of the Word of God, how many times does he offer he says, man, this is going to be great now. Terry, this is awesome now, but you're going to burn in hell later. Does he tell you that? Does he even tell you the consequences of it later? Oh, yeah, but your family's going to fall. Oh, yeah, but your job's going to mess. Oh, yeah, but your... He doesn't tell you that. He just keeps selling you the instant gratification. That's what the world does. It sells us. And we have ideas and that are not biblical, and all of a sudden the world's filling us with these, and it's growing, this instant gratification. So you can have an ROI with Satan, and he says, man, right now, you can have it all. Right now, get it. It's yours right now. Man, glory now. But I want you to know he fails to mention the certainty of eternal suffering later. You violate God's principles, there's going to be consequences. We talked about this on Wednesday night. We were talking about protection, and we were talking about the high dive of life. All right? Yeah, how many of y'all have been up on a high dive before? High dive? Skylar, you been on a high dive? Man, you get up on that high dive, and you're up there, all right? And let me ask you a question. One side is water. What's the other side? Concrete, right? Which way did you jump? Towards water. Yeah, that's God's way. God say, I like to call that the right way. So you get up on the high dive, and God said, and how many of y'all, when y'all went up there, y'all realized it was higher than what it looked like from the ground? And you're like, oh no, isn't that God's way? God says, do this, and you're on the high dive, and you're like, oh. I think that's why some of those divers go off backwards, so they don't have to look. But I'm just saying, it's a high dive, and you're like, huh. You know, there's butterflies, just like there is when God's calling you to do something, because he doesn't give you the whole plan. He doesn't give you the certainty of what's happening at the end, but you can trust him. And which way are we supposed to jump? Are we supposed to jump into the water or backwards into the concrete? Water. Yes, good. Even the young ones got that one right. But you understand, when God puts us on the high dive of life, that's where he puts us, and he wants us to do it his way and jump into the water. How foolish would it be to turn around and jump into the concrete? Skylar, how would that have worked out? Not good. You'd have been in traction. You'd have been laying there, right? But let me ask you a question. Once you jump and you're in the air, what's the difference between the feelings? Nothing, dude. Man, adrenaline. Woohoo, I'm doing it. When does the problem come? When you land. Duh. But we do this all the time. God puts us up on a high dive. He tests us. He puts us up there and says, I'm testing you. Satan's up there tempting you to trust anybody but God. And God's going to jump. And you're like, but it's scary, you know? And Satan's over there convincing you to jump the wrong way. It's not as bad this way. Look at all the other people that have jumped. Look at all the, yeah, look at them. And look at the consequence. Look at the pile of bodies there in the world. But yet for some reason, it's just, well, if everybody's doing it, oh my goodness, this is easier. This will be, no, jump the right way. Amen? Y'all don't remember anything else on the high dive of life, Marley. Which way are you going to jump? Into the water, not into the concrete. But it's that way with decisions. Every time we choose to do it any way other than God's way, we jump into the concrete and we suffer those consequences. So Satan, the father of lies, offers glory now. Glory now, jump. Everybody, oh, you have the guts to jump off the backside? Man, if you're jumping off the backside, what's everybody? Do you think you got anybody's attention? Yeah, you're jumping off the front side. Next guy jumps off the front side. Dude, you jump off the backside. How many, what are you looking for on social media? What are you looking for? Followers. Dude, you jump off the backside. What's everybody going to do these days? Back in the old days, they'd be like, no. Now it's like, go. And they'd have their cameras and phones out, right? Recording you as you splat. But you could have instant gratification. Oh, everybody notices me. That's really what that instant gratification is. Satan, the father of lies, knows our human nature, and he offers us glory now, but fails to mention the certainty of eternal suffering later. And if you never give your life to Christ, you have eternal suffering. You have eternal suffering in hell. And that's not God's intention. But look what happens. Look at this next part. God Almighty, if Chuck was here, I'd say, God, hey, Marley, if God is almighty, how much might does God have? All of it, and if God's got all of it, how much do you have? Thank you, you've been listening, all right. So, God Almighty, he promises, do you know what he promises now? And I'm gonna show this to you in scripture today. What does he promise us now? Go ahead, read it. I know you don't wanna read it, and I'm gonna show it to you in scripture. He promises what? No, wait, I got saved because life was going to be all like gushiness and gumdrops. I don't even know what that means. It's like, God, life's going to be so good. Oh, everything. Internally, yes. Externally, man, you just picked a battle with the enemy of God. And so again, God promises right now in our life, the more we live for him, the more we look like him, the more we will suffer. All those that live righteously will be, what's the P word? Yeah, listen to what he said in scripture. All those that follow him will be persecuted. Will be. So you know what? All those that look like God, all those who act like God, all those that are trying to be like God, they will be persecuted. So, well, I'm not having any persecution. Well, perhaps there isn't much of a resemblance between your life and God. Possibly. God Almighty promises suffering now, but we suffer now because we look like who? We look like Christ. The more we look like Christ, the more we suffer now. All right? But who's stoked about us looking like Christ? God is. God's stoked about that. And God says, you know what? I'm going to reward you. There's going to be a return on that investment. So envision that suffering as an investment for God. It's a sweet smell to God. It may be a sweet smell to other believers, but it also may stink really bad to other believers, as Paul says. And so as we suffer, we look more like Christ, and Christ is stoked about that. Christ is excited about that. The world, not so much. What did they? Christ looked exactly like God in the flesh. What did they do to him? What did they do to him? Yeah, so what do you expect they're going to do to you? So that's why we back off. And that's why we keep jumping off the back of the high dive, because we think that right now it's going to feel better. Right now I'm not going to get as persecuted, but there's the consequences of all of that. So God Almighty promises suffering now, but he guarantees glory later. How much glory is there guaranteed later? What do you have? You have eternity, right? And what does the glory look like? You're living in a perfect place, and everybody around you is perfect. You've got a perfect God. Look at around you. Look at the people around you right now. How many of y'all are believers? Raise your hand. All right, look at these people. Can you imagine God making them perfect? You're just looking at the ones you live with going, man, he's got a long way to go. Yeah, but that's how powerful God is, and that's how powerful his grace is in this. He promises glory later, and what we're going to see, the real glory, is that we are heirs of Christ, and God, we inherit God, and we inherit everything that Christ has. We will see that at the end in Scripture. Haven't given you much Scripture yet. I've just given you these 2 points, and this is the choice. This is how you make your decisions on your return of investment. Do I want it now? And do I want it now? I want this instant gratification right now. I understand often, that's not coming from God. You know, do I want it now and suffer later? Or do I want to suffer now and have glory later? Which one do you want? I know Terry's thinking right now. Terry's thinking, okay, I want gratification now and glory later. How about that? Everybody else with Terry wanting that deal? That's not, now, if you want the gratification internally, you can have that now. But your externals, no. He's going to allow you to suffer so you can identify with Christ. So you can choose to be like Christ, and God and all the angels can be rejoicing in heaven as they see you through grace, doing what God's asking you to do here, in spite of all of the opposition. That's what our life is. You're like, well, that isn't good news. I'm going to go to a different church where they don't preach that. Well, that isn't the word. Let me show you this again. All right, I'll show you Scripture now to back up all those kind of thoughts here. So before salvation, we were just like the world, but we were being preserved by God. Check this out. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, Paul goes on and says, I mean that the heir, not hair, but heir. What is an heir? Somebody who has an inheritance, right? An inheritance is something you get when somebody decides you get it. Usually now it's kind of at death or whatever, but it's you get an inheritance when somebody decides you get it. Do you have to work for an inheritance? No, it's given to you. So you have an inheritance, okay, that the heir, so if an heir of a wealthy estate, as long as he is a child, is no different from a slave, though he is the owner of everything, the whole estate. So you've got a child, okay, who's an heir of the father who owns this giant estate, all right? And eventually he will own the estate. Y'all following me here? All right, but what does he own right now? He owns it, but does he get to, like, tell everybody what to do with it? Does he get to manage it? Does he get to whatever he wants to spend on it? No, he doesn't get, he's just like a slave right now. In fact, what happened in this day is the Roman people, rich Roman dude, would have no children, and he would buy a slave, and that slave would become an heir. He would adopt him, and he would become an heir. And by the way, when you got adopted in that Roman society, it was more valuable than actually being a natural-born child. You understand, in that Roman Empire at that time, when a child was born, the birth mother would hold up the baby to the father, and he would either do this, and it would live, or he would do that, and they would go drown or kill the baby, based on what he thought. And they killed many, many babies. Aren't you glad our society doesn't do that? Anyways, that was a child that was naturally born, but a child that was adopted, man, had full rights of a son and had it, and it couldn't be revoked because that child was picked, and that's what adoption meant, and we'll learn about that in a minute. I mean that the heir, so here it is, as long as he's a child, this kid really owns it all, but he's no different than a slave. They would hire a slave to take care of this kid. They would hire a pedagogue. They would hire the teachers, you know, basically to take care of a babysitter to oversee and take care of this kid. And he would make all the decisions for this kid. So the kid's a slave to the pedagogue. Pedagogue's a slave to the father who actually owns it all. And even though this kid owns it all, he doesn't get to use it all, basically, is what he's saying here. That was us before we got saved. That was the Jewish nation. That was the world before the gospel. But it says he is under guardians and managers until the date set by who? Until his father decides it's time for him now to take over. He's the same as a slave. So until the father decides it's time for you to be born again, you're a slave to sin. Even though he knew from the beginning of time, we looked at that in Ephesians, he's loved you for how long? How long has God loved you for? Forever. He was just waiting for you to be born and become mature enough and become at the right time for you to surrender your life to him through grace. But he knew you've been saved forever. That's what Scripture says, by grace. And so it's the same thing. This kid, he's the heir, but he can't do anything until the father decides it's time for him to be able to do something. And so he's telling the Jews, this is what the law was for us. Now, look at this next verse. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. He's talking about when you were not saved. Before you were saved, all you had was what the world had. Man, think about that. Oh, but the world has such great science. Hey, let me ask you a question. When the world discovers, when a scientist makes some great discovery, man, y'all hear about those great discoveries? Fernando, when a scientist makes a great discovery, what does God say about that? Yeah, thank you, Fernanda. But yeah, it's amazing how she could transfer her voice there. But yeah, that's what, you're exactly right. That's when science discovers something, whoa, look what we figured out. God's like, yeah, y'all finally got that. I gave you enough hints of where that Easter egg was. There, you found it finally. And he wants them to give him glory, but of course they take the glory and the credit. You know what this word, it says you were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. What does elementary mean? Basic, simple. That's the best this world has to offer is elementary. It actually is referred to as the ABCs. You know, what good are ABCs if you don't know what to do with them? You can't spell any words with them, right? He said, this is before you're saved, all you know is what man knows. Man creates his own gods. Man creates his own philosophy. Man creates his own, explanations on how this happens and why this happens. Man is full of it. Man doesn't know what's going on. Man, if man does discover any truth, it's because God has allowed it to be revealed. But man is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything. God does. So before you're saved, all you know is what man knows. All the philosophies, all your, that's what I was even talking about with grieving last week. Half of what's taught in Christianity is stuff they got from the world. I constantly am asking people when they're telling me about grieving biblically, or they're talking about grieving and they're believers, I'm like, where is that in Scripture? Oh, Scripture doesn't deal with that. Yeah, then it, you know what? Then that's wrong. And again, no matter what you're looking at, it's got to go right along with Scripture. If it's an idea that doesn't coincide with Scripture, it's wrong. It's from Satan. And I don't care how good it makes you feel in your instant gratification right now, it has a way of dragging you out. And I'm not just talking about grief. I'm talking about anything the world has to offer. So he says, man, before you were saved, you were going to be saved. When did God know you were going to be saved? Before the beginning of time. And so God knew you were going to be saved, but here you were in the world. How many of y'all lived in this world unsaved? And if you said, nope, I was saved in utero, you need to get saved. You were not. You just had a drug problem. Your parents drug you to church. All right, that's all. But in the same way, we were enslaved from the time that we were born till the time we were born again. All we had access to was the world's wonderful ideas. All the world's wonderful books they wrote about and they publicized. And boy, how do we judge success, Emily, on social media now? By how many what? So what's a great number for followers? Like a really great, what's a number? Like if you had that, you would be blowing everybody away if you had that many followers, what number would that be? A million? That's it. Don't they have like multiple millions, some of them? Yeah. So if you have like 5 million followers, you must be right. Right? No. What the Word of God says is right. Amen? So all you have before you're saved is what the world has. Don't get your information from them. You get it from the Word of God. You check everything that's said against the Word of God in context. So he says, in the same way, when we were children, we were enslaved to the ABCs of the world, and all they had was the ABCs. They didn't even know how to put them together to make words. They just have a bunch of stuff, and they try to figure out what to do with it. How many of y'all ever made a mess? Anybody ever made a mess? Did you? What's your name, man? Yeah, I'm just going to pick on you. What's that? Robbie, you made a mess. All right, I'm not going to tell you explain all the mess because you probably got a lot of messes, right? I mean, I'm just talking about we all do, right? Did you make the ingredients for that mess? No, you used God's ingredients and you made a mess, right? Anybody identify with Robbie? You used God's ingredients and you made a mess because you didn't put them together in the way that God intended for them to be put together, and therefore it's classified as a mess. That's the best the world can do, is take the ingredients they have and try to figure out what to do with them. But what we can do is we figure out what God has given us, and we figure out what God wants us to do with those, and it's not a mess. But it doesn't always happen as quick, and we're not very patient. So in the same way, we also, when we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. So that's what he's telling us. Before you were saved, God knew you were going to be saved. You had an inheritance. You just were just like the world until you got born again. So look at this next part. Since salvation through adoption. Adoption. And I told you, in the Roman Empire, that was the most foolproof way of becoming a person in a family that where it couldn't be revoked. Man, when you were adopted, you had more legal rights again than that child who was naturally born, literally. So through adoption, that's what happened through salvation. We're saved by regeneration, and then God adopts us into his family. What a great thing. You are children of God. You don't come into the world as a child of God. You need to be regenerated, born again, and then he adopts you into his family immediately. And once we're adopted, now we're adopted. We're sons with and daughters, if you will, with the rights of an adopted child. So here we are. What's true about the father's possessions? What's going to happen? We don't have to wait till somebody dies to have that, but we are now, we're heirs. We now inherit what, once we're adopted, we inherit what the father has. Hey, what does the father have, y'all? What's he got? And so what do you adopt? Everything. And right now, hey, what's your name, bro? Chad? Yep. Chad, if you had everything, do you think there's a chance you'd make a mess of something? Because you didn't really know how to put all the ingredients together? I'm just saying for me. Are we fully capable of handling everything? Tanya, are we capable of handling everything right now? How many of y'all are just saying, I can barely handle what's on my plate right now? Yeah. You remember, I'm thinking of this. Now I'll tell the really old people, or you kids that were made to watch it. Y'all remember the Ed Sullivan Show, anybody? Dude, that was the beginning of TV, man. Ed Sullivan Show. There would be a dude who would have a stick and he'd get a plate spinning. Y'all know where I'm going with this? He'd get a plate spinning, and then he'd have another stick and get a plate spinning. And we were so, Emily, can you believe, we were so entertained. We didn't need influencers and be a million. This was our entertainment. Some dude was on TV, which TV was brand new, and he would get 20 plates spinning, and he'd be running to the next plate and running. And when he had all of them, he'd go, ta-da! Doesn't that just sound impressive? Who needs Pixar and Disney when you got plate spinners? But what a beautiful illustration that was of our life. Man, if you had everything right now, Chad, man, you're already a plate spinner, I bet. That's most of us. We're plate spinners trying to keep it all up. We couldn't handle everything. So even though we have this inheritance of everything, we won't be able to handle it until we get a perfect what? Body. And even if we had a perfect body, you know what? There's other people around us that, Terry, what do you think someone would do, man? You got your plate spinning. Do you think there's anybody in your neighborhood that would just go and knock your plate off just to mess with you? Yeah. If you live in a condo, I'll guarantee you there's people that would do that. Oh, my goodness. Hey, guess what? I just found out. Ron and Lucia, sit over here. Side note, remind me where I'm at, Elliot, when I come back. All right, you remember where I'm at? All right. I went to go visit them. And I came back down. They live in one of the condos here. Nobody in the parking lot. I'm parked in the middle. And I come back down and there's this big green sticker on my window. And it's not even a nice one that's plastic. It's paper, man. I had to scrape this thing off. And it said, "You're not allowed to be here." And I'm like, "Well, they invited me." We just had beautiful prayer. And I got really kind of, you know, upset about it. I could have got more upset, but I got more upset than I should have. I got it down, and I tried to stick it on the parking spot. So they would but it wouldn't stick on the parking spot. So I grabbed it, and I rolled it, and I threw it, and I was talking and supplicating with God. And he said, "Pick that up." So I picked it up, threw it in the bed of my truck till he could give me further directions. So the next day, I called the office, and I said, "Excuse me, sir. I came to go visit somebody, and man, I was invited by him. I wasn't parked near anybody. I just here, and I got a big green sticker on my truck that I could hardly get off. Well, you know, what should I do next time?" And the guy goes, "Oh, next time, go to the office, and you'll get we'll give you a pass." And I'm like, "Oh, cool." And he said, "Oh, by the way, what were you driving?" I said, "Oh, I was driving a 2023 pickup truck. It wouldn't embarrass anybody in your parking lot." I did say that, but it was like, because I'm thinking, you know, they don't want embarrassment in their condo parking lot. You know, I'm like, "I got this, you know, it's there, and I have racks and boards on it." "Oh, there's your problem." I'm not seeing a problem. Anybody see a problem yet? No, dude. You know, if it would have been a Prius, Charlie, it would have been okay, man. But I'm there, and he's like, "There's your problem." He said, "Nobody is allowed on these premises in a pickup truck unless you have a professionally installed tonneau cover. And definitely no racks and no boards. And you're not allowed." So I said, "Sir, I can't go visit these people." And they're like, "No, sir, you can't have that vehicle on the premises." And I was like, oh, some of y'all are going, "Wow, only you who don't live in condos, right?" The rest of y'all live in condos. You're like, "Oh, yeah, that's just normal. You know, we live with that every day. God bless you all." In all of that, I can plan to put a toilet in my front yard and plant flowers in it if I want to. I live in Fort Pierce. I don't even know where I'm going with all that, Ashley. Where was I going? Plate spinning, man. All right, the point is, God gives us everything. We have everything, but how many could handle any more than what you have? You can't. You need God. One day we're going to be in a perfect place. We're going to be perfect plate spinner, perfect people. We're going to have perfect jobs and perfect plates, perfect everything. And we will fully be able to enjoy the gifts that God has given us. We'll fully be able to enjoy what we have inherited. You ever seen somebody blow an inheritance? That's why God doesn't give it to us now, because we'd mess it up. But in the perfect time, we will have the perfect inheritance. Amen. We inherit, you're going to see in the last scripture, when we get there, 2 days from now. No, you're going to see, man, we inherit everything that Christ has. I can't even fathom that because I don't have a perfect brain to fathom that. I just by faith have to believe it. So my ROI, what am I investing in? You know what? I'm not selling everything and investing in sour cream because the sour cream is eventually going to spoil. I'm investing in eternity. And those can be investments in here, in this world. When you make your investment, make sure it's got some sort of eternal implications. You're doing it for some sort of eternal purpose. Because he does say money can grab wings like an eagle and fly away. And many people have seen that. But since salvation, through adoption, we have inherited who? We inherited God. We've inherited God. That's what we've inherited. Who gives us everything his son possesses. Take a look at this next piece of scripture here. "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under law." When the fullness of time came. So God, ever since the beginning, ever since even Adam and Eve chose to follow Satan instead of God's one rule, and then he had a flood and people still wanted to do evil. Ever since, every prophecy, ever since God gave Abraham the promise, ever since he gave Moses the law as a mirror. And the mirror, again, if I were to hold up a big mirror, you guys could see what's wrong with you right now. How many of y'all think you'd have nothing wrong from my point of view here? Now, I watch on camera and I'm like, oh God, I do. Man, I didn't know people, the camera, but the mirror shows us what's wrong. That's the law. The mirror shows us what's wrong, but the mirror doesn't correct the problem. None of y'all looked in the mirror. Tom, you didn't look in the mirror and fix your hair with it, did you? Not this morning, man. You got some shine polish, man, or did something, right? You did something, because that only you could sport that. I couldn't sport that kind of head. Yeah, it looks awesome on you, bro. But the point is we see what's wrong in the mirror, but we don't use the mirror, the law, to fix it. We use Christ to fix it. We use grace through the power of the Holy Spirit to fix the things that he shows us that are wrong in this. And so, man, when the time came where man had enough time to see, I cannot follow the law. I can't do it. I can't get salvation through my own righteousness. And there's no way I can be righteous enough before God for him to accept me. At that time, and some things happened in the world at that time, Pax Romana, and you know, there was a language now that everybody could understand. God, at the perfect time, he sent forth his son, Jesus. And it says, born of a woman, born under the law. This born of a woman isn't really so much talking about the virgin birth as much as it's talking about he was born from a woman, so he was human. He was human. Why did he have, hey, Marley, why did Jesus have to be human? Why couldn't he be, if God wanted to save the barracudas, you and I had this conversation when you sat over there one time. If God wanted to save the barracudas and he wanted to use you, what would you have to become? A barracuda. And you'd have to speak what? Barracuda. You'd have to just be a barracuda to be a replacement. But we needed a replacement. So God had to be born of a woman to be human so that he could save us. So that's what that's talking about, him becoming our substitute and born under the law. Everybody knew under the law you had to obey the law. God required perfect righteousness, and nobody could achieve it. But this man, he perfectly achieved the law. He never sinned once. So in the perfect time, when man finally realized, I can't save myself, Jesus came to save us. He became, he was a human to be our substitute, and he was perfect to be able to be our replacement in all of this. So look at this next part here. To redeem those, this is the purpose, to redeem. Redeem means to buy somebody out of slavery, to redeem those who are under the law. Since he was perfect, his perfection could be used to redeem our imperfection under the law, so that we might receive what? Adoption. Adoption. There's that word. You were adopted into the kingdom. You were adopted into God's family as sons. And look what he goes on to say. And whoop, whoop. Hang on. And because you were sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So as sons, you have an inheritance. But look what happened when you became son. When you became a child of God, God sent the Spirit of his Son. What spirit is that, y'all? The Holy Spirit. There's a number of names for the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was talking to his disciples the night before he was betrayed, he was telling them, I'm going to send you another comforter. I'm going to send you one exactly like me. Somebody who is exactly like me. That's why here he's called the Spirit of the Son. So it's somebody who's just like Christ, but he's not in bodily form. He's a spirit and he can live inside of us. And he says, he sends him into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And this Abba Father means you have a daddy. You have a daddy in heaven. It's an intimate relationship. Anybody ever, man, my dad died in 2006. Man, my mom passed away in 1980 when I was a senior in high school. How many of y'all would love to be able to talk or hug your parents if you didn't have them anymore? How many, you got situations where you just love, man, I'd just love to be able to talk to you. I just love it. You have a heavenly father. And this heavenly father wants you to have intimate moments with him all the time. It's not a situation where when Christ was on the cross and he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? We know as a sinner cries out, you can cry, Abba, Abba, Father. You have an intimate relationship with God Almighty because you've been adopted. Now, again, the reason we don't have everything we've inherited is because we'd make a mess of it. But you have God.
And so here's the deal. Based on what you even sent out this morning, Matt, in for your Tuesday, how many of y'all go to Tuesday night Bible study? Anybody here? Okay, cool. All right, we got a few in here. In the Tuesday night Bible, y'all are going to be studying grace and what grace is. We've talked about it. Grace is a gift, charis, that God gives us. All right, so he gives us this grace, but when we get saved, we have the Holy Spirit. Who is the Holy Spirit, y'all? God. He is God Almighty. God Almighty's lived. The Spirit of his Son, God Almighty, lives in our hearts, and we have access to God Almighty all the time. So when Jesus came and became a man, there's God the Father. He came down to be a man. But the conduit between God the Father and Jesus, Scripture tells us, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, where did Jesus get his orders from? The marching orders. There were some times God spoke out loud, but it was through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was his conduit. Those three are who are one, were together. We have that same conduit. In fact, Romans 8:26 says we don't know how to pray. You know, you were talking about, man, losing a parent, losing your mom, and we don't know how to pray. Have you? Your mom was a believer. You know she's in heaven, but it doesn't make it easier at this point. But the point is has there been a time since you lost your mom yesterday that you just don't even know how to pray? Man, that's where we're at. I don't have words. I know what's inside. I just don't even know what to say. The Holy Spirit, who is God Almighty, does, according to Romans 8:26. He takes our desires and lifts them up to God in a way where they are acceptable. We have an intimate relationship with the one who can do everything, the one that knows everything, and the one who is everywhere. And so the Holy Spirit, Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit is our conduit. The Holy Spirit gives us power. The Holy Spirit was the one that was necessary to make Scripture make sense to us. He gave us the gift of grace to be able to believe God for salvation. But every moment, every day, we need to be in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, or we miss the gift of grace. And what is it that quenches the Holy Spirit, y'all? What quenches the Holy Spirit and causes us not to be able to hear from the Holy Spirit? Sin, right? Okay, I got an illustration for you in this, and I'll use Max since Max's gonna, be teaching on this tomorrow or whatever. But so when we're hearing from God, man, have you ever had those times where you're just hearing from God? And then all of a sudden you start choosing your own way. You start blowing off God and start going with your feelings, going with your desires, going with your thoughts that are against the word of God. What happens is your ability to hear from God starts getting squashed. Now, I will say at salvation, you didn't want anything to do with God, and the Holy Spirit was able to get through clearly. But what God's looking for from us is an intimate day-to-day relationship where a spirit-filled life is, what do you want me to do now, God? And we do it. What do you want me to do now, God? And we do it. But you got to be hearing from him and obeying. If you say, what do you want me to do now, God? And you say, oh, not that. The farther you get away from God, the less you can hear him. So, Mac, you can hear me pretty good right now, right? All right. And you wore these before, actually, out in the hunting range. But how's that hearing coming now? Can you hear me okay now? Yeah. So if Mac needs direction from the Holy Spirit, you know what? He can read my lips. Okay. Can you stand up and turn around and do jumping jacks? I was just asking him to stand up, turn around, and do jumping jacks. How many of y'all could do that? Anybody here want to do that? Stand up, turn around, and do a couple jumping jacks. Anybody? How hard is that? Julia, come on, you can do that, right? We could do that very easily. But Mac, oh, look. You better be careful who's whispering in your ear. Because that's what the world does. Satan sends little whispers into our ear. Hopefully, we're hanging with people that are seeing life from God's perspective. And those people are yelling into our lives and going, Mac, please repent. You know, please, Mac, come back. And so you can hear God on your own. And when we give when we repent, when we know we're doing what's wrong, we say, God, I want to do it your way. You know what that happens then? What happens is, boy, somebody should get a picture of him just like this. Because, honestly, how many of y'all, has this been you spiritually? you really can't hear in these things, can you? Yeah. But yet, if you still wanted to act spiritual, you could act like you were hearing, right? You know, living off of leftovers and whatever else. But we got to have, so here's my point with grace. Grace is given, everything we need to do that's supernatural is a gift of grace. God wants you to do something supernatural, Charlie. You got to have grace. That's the gift. And the one who gives it to you is the Holy Spirit. But when you can't hear the Holy Spirit, oh, dang. When you can't hear the Holy Spirit because of sin, you're going to make a lot of mistakes. We're going to start coming up with our own. That's the world's problem, or that's what we call carnal Christianity's problem. What we got to do is we got to repent. We got to come back and say, God, realize how important it is. You cannot live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? You can't do it. And unfortunately, Christianity has gotten good over the years of designing a form of Christianity where if the Holy Spirit doesn't show up, well, it still worked. But it didn't. The Holy Spirit's the key. And what quenches the Holy Spirit in our sanctification is when we decide not to walk with Him. And what's got to happen is these muffs got to come off. So He says, because you're sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. That's where we make decisions. And we can at any time cry, Abba, Father, Abba, Father. We know from Scripture what we're supposed to do, but He'll answer us because we have that intimate relationship with Him. So it goes on in the next verse and says, we're almost done here. In the next verse, next verse, I'm getting it, JJ. I am, I promise. Oh, so you're no longer a slave to sin. You don't have to sin. You don't have to do the wrong thing. God will give you the right thing. And through grace, He will give you the power to do the right thing on a moment by moment by moment basis. You're no longer a slave, but you're a son. And if a son, then you are an heir through God. So once you become a child of God, you are now an heir. But again, man, Fernanda, can you handle any more on your plate? No, man, plates are spinning. Got them. We're lucky to keep those going. But when we get to heaven, we will fully enjoy all that we have inherited. But I think there's probably more we could enjoy right now if we walk in the Spirit. If when there's conviction, we confess and we get things straight. I don't know about you, man, but I need to hear from the Holy Spirit of God or I'm going to get it wrong. And you'll never go against the Word of God. One more verse. Look at this real quick. Romans 8, 16 and 17. The Spirit, what Spirit? What Spirit back? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Comforter. You know, the Paraclete. That's what actually, when Jesus was explaining it, He said it's a paraclete, which means somebody that walks alongside you and guides you and directs you. The paraclete Himself bears witness with our spirit. We're children of God. So guess what? When you are walking with God, you have the Holy Spirit telling you what, Abby? What's the Holy Spirit telling you? You're a child of God, right? But when you're not walking with God, when you got your earmuffs on, what are you hearing? Are you hearing that? No. Satan would love to get you to doubt your salvation. I heard somebody say once that eternal security is God's job. Assurance of your salvation is yours. When you're walking with God and you're hearing from God, God's constantly telling you, you're my child, you're my child, you're my child, you're my child. But when you've got your muffs on because you're not walking with God, the devil's constantly telling you, you're not saved, you're not saved, you're not saved. That's why people are continually trying to get saved through their works. When in reality, all it takes is getting back in that relationship where you're hearing from God. So He says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. That's how, that assurance of your salvation, man, that's what you get from the Holy Spirit. God saved you. You don't lose your salvation. You just lose the assurance of it. And look what He says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with who? Dude, a fellow heir with Christ. What has Christ inherited? Everything. And we're a fellow heir, so what have we inherited? Everything. And you know it's right. You just can't use it yet. We would mess it up. We'd mess it up if we tried to use it now. We just can't, but he gives us what we can use for his glory in the form of grace. So fellow heirs with Christ, provided, look at this, and this could be a whole other message, it's not going to be, but this is, brings us back to where we were at. So look what he says, if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, I've inherited it all, provided we what? Oh man, there's that word you started with that I already forgot about. If we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. What is Christ being glorified for in heaven? What is Christ being glorified? Why is he being glorified in heaven? Because what did he do on this earth? He suffered. Yeah, he took our sins and he suffered. So that's what God is glorifying Christ for, is that he took our sins. He suffered. So if he's going to glorify us, what's he going to glorify us for? Suffering. That's what they're celebrating, is the suffering where we make decisions to be like Christ and do what Christ wants us to do. And yes, all those that live godly will be what? Persecuted. But I think that many of us are Christians and we want a witness protection plan. I don't want to be persecuted. I'm going to live for God when nobody else can kind of see it and nobody else. No! Dude, what did they do to Isaiah? Anybody know what they did to Isaiah? Turned him upside down, and how did he die? It's in Scripture. They sawed him in half. How many of y'all signed up for that one? Peter. Man, when Peter, he had to literally, his wife went on expeditions with him, evangelistic expeditions, sharing the gospel, and they were so angry, the Judaizers, what they did, they killed him. They made him watch his wife die. And then they killed him, and that's when he said, well, you know what? I'm not worthy to die the way Christ is. So they flipped him upside down, and he got crucified upside down. Go read Fox's Book of Martyrs. That's what God is celebrating. I'm not asking you to be masochistic. I'm not saying, well, go out and cause trouble so people pick on you because you're a Christian. That's all I'm asking. I'm just saying you go live for Christ and quit compromising in a comfortable form of Christianity that doesn't rock this world. Go live. Take the situations, every situation he brings you, and do it the way God wants you to do it. And you will smell like God. But the world's not going to like it. But when you smell like God, God loves it. So it says, yeah, you're heirs with God. And one way you'll know that you're an heir with God is you're trying to look like him right here, right now. He says, fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. It's in the suffering that we get glorified. Looking like Christ. And it doesn't always mean we're going to suffer when we look like Christ. But he says, all those that live godly will be persecuted. I say this again, if you're sitting there thinking in your head, well, I'm not being persecuted. I'm never persecuted. You better check to see how much you look like Christ. Because he said, all those that look like him will be. Not a bad thing. It's just a great return on investment. It's a great return on investment. So you're like, man, well, I don't want this. No, that's just where the lost people are. I want a good life here, and I'll deal with the next one. But God says, no, you're going to suffer for me here because the world doesn't like me. But I'll richly reward that later. There's your return on investment. So look at this. Before salvation, we were just like the world. We were duped by Satan, the father of lies. Satan offers glory now, but fails to mention the certainty of eternal suffering later. And you know, even as a believer, every time you do something that is not the way God wants you to do it, there's consequences. It's just going to happen. There's going to be suffering not doing it. You're getting the short-term consequences are good, but the long-term consequences are always bad when we make the wrong decision. But since salvation, through adoption, we have inherited God, who gives us everything his son possesses, promising, here's your promise right now. What does God promise for us right now? Yeah. That's why we should find such joy when we meet together as believers, because at least we agree on the same things. And we can encourage each other
and give each other strength and encouragement for the suffering we're going under. Hey, don't worry about that suffering now, dude. You know, in heaven, they're rejoicing. Man, you're getting a crown. One day, we're going to celebrate that victory in heaven. Just make sure you're doing the right thing now. That's the best return on investment. So he promises suffering now, but he guarantees glory for eternity. So you want it now or you want it later? And I know you're saying, I want it both. But that's not the option that he presents us. What do you want me to do now, God? And do it. Let's pray. Father, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus. I'm grateful I can come in that name and everything it stands for. I'm grateful that you tell us how it is in Scripture. That, yeah, it's going to be tough to live for you here. Not always. Sometimes, man, it's a joy. Sometimes, especially when we're with fellow believers, man, we're all in agreement. Everything's cool. But there's going to be some tough times where we're being challenged of whether we're going to do it your way or our way. Your way or Satan's way when it comes down to it. And the world would love to see us do it any way but your way. Satan would love for us to do it any way but your way. But we know that your way does work, and your way will have a tremendous return on our investment. We can't even comprehend what that's going to be like in heaven. It's going to blow us away. No comprehension possible with this finite mind. But we know that you tell us that it's worth it. So, Father, I'm grateful that we have your Holy Spirit to be able to funnel that grace to us for every situation that we need. As Paul put it in Philippians, I think 2:13, he said it's the desire and the ability to do what you want us to do. Man, we can't do what you want us to do without grace, without the desire and ability. But Father, help us receive the grace for each chore, each privilege, each opportunity we have from you to do it your way. Even if it hurts, knowing that it will work out and it'll be richly blessed. Maybe not here, but definitely later. And we know that it's often blessed here. But we do know that later it'll be beyond our wildest comprehension. So, Father, help us continually walk and say, what do you want us to do now, God? And do it. What do you want us to do now? And do it. And not do it in our own strength, but do it in your power. And I pray, Father, that if there's somebody here that's thinking that they're going to get to heaven based on their own righteousness, their own good deeds, Father, I pray they would realize what your word, which is the truth, says, is that all those that in the end that try to get in by their good deeds are thrown into the lake of fire. It's only those who have their names written in the book of life who have what Christ did on the cross and his perfect life given to them, because that's what you'd accept. So, Father, I pray you'd save somebody that needs to be saved today. I pray that you would help each of us on that path of sanctification. Father, help us to accept the grace that you give us to live the life you want us to live. I pray for these things.